What the Founding Fathers have to teach us about foreign policy became all the more important and yet all the more ignored in the wake of the horrific attacks of September the 11th, 2001. In the weeks that follow that fateful day, most Americans' focus was on identifying the sponsors of the attacks and punishing them. That was sensible enough. I myself voted to track down Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, but people were bound to start wondering eventually why we were attacked, not because they sought to excuse the attackers, of course, but out of a natural curiosity regarding what made these men tick. Looking for motive is not the same thing as making excuses. Detectives always look for the motive behind crime, but no one thinks they are looking to excuse murder. 7 years later, though, our political class still refuses to deal with the issue in anything but sound bites and propaganda. The rest of the world is astonished at this refusal to speak frankly about the reality of our situation, and yet our safety and security may depend on it. One person to consult if we want to understand those who wish us harm is Michael Schauer, who was chief of the CIA's Osama bin Laden unit at the Counter-Terrorist Center in the late 1990s. Schauer is a conservative and a pro-life voter who has never voted for a Democrat, and he refuses to buy the usual line that the attacks on America have nothing to do with what our government does in the Islamic world. In fact, he says, those attacks have everything to do with what we do. Some people simply will not listen to this kind of argument or will pretend to misunderstand it, trivializing this profoundly significant issue by alleging that Schauer is blaming America for the attacks. To the contrary, Schauer could not be any clearer in his writing that the perpetrators of terrorist attacks on Americans should be pursued mercilessly for their acts of barbarism. His point is very simple. It is unreasonable, even utopian, not to expect people to grow resentful and desirous of revenge when your government bombs them, supports police states in their countries, and imposes murderous sanctions on them. That revenge, in its various forms, is what our CIA calls blowback, the unintended consequences of military intervention. Obviously, the onus of blame rests with those who perpetrate acts of terror, regardless of their motivation. The question Schauer and I are asking is not who is morally responsible for terrorism. Only a fool would place the moral responsibility for terrorism on any one other than the terrorists themselves. The question we are asking is less doltish and more serious. Given that a hyper-interventionist foreign policy is very likely to lead to this kind of blowback, are we still sure we want such a foreign policy? Is it really worth it to us? The main focus of our criticism, in other words, is that our government's foreign policy has put the American people in greater danger and made us more vulnerable to attack than we would otherwise have been. This is the issue that we and others want to raise before the American people. The interventionist policies that have given rise to blowback have been bipartisan in their implementation. For instance, it was Bill Clinton's Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright, who said on 60 Minutes that 500,000 dead Iraqi children as a result of the sanctions on that country during the 1990s were worth it. Who could be so utopian, so detached from reality, as to think a remark like that, which was broadcast all over the Arab world, you can be sure, and policies like these, would not provoke a response? If Americans lost that many of their family members, friends, and fellow citizens, would they not seek to hunt down the perpetrators and be unsatisfied until they were apprehended? The question answers itself. So why wouldn't we expect people to try to take revenge for these policies? I have never received an answer to this simple and obvious question. This does not mean Americans are bad people, or that they are to blame for terrorism, strawman arguments that supporters of intervention raise in order to cloud the issue and demonize their opponents. It means only that actions cause reactions, and that Americans will need to prepare themselves for these reactions if their government is going to continue to intervene around the world. In the year 2000, I wrote, "The cost in terms of liberties lost and the unnecessary exposure to terrorism are difficult to determine. But in time, it will become apparent to all of us that foreign interventionism is of no benefit to American citizens, but instead is a threat to our liberties. I stand by every word of that. To those who say that the attackers are motivated by a hatred of Western liberalism or the moral degeneracy of American culture, Schauer points out that Iran's Ayatollah Khomeini tried in vain for a decade to instigate an anti-Western jihad on exactly that basis. It went nowhere. Bin Laden's message, on the other hand, has been so attractive to so many people because it is fundamentally defensive. Bin Laden, says Schauer, has spurned the Ayatollah's wholesale condemnation of Western society, focusing instead on specific bread-and-butter issues on which there is widespread agreement among Muslims.